You don't get stronger when you're active, you get stronger when you're resting. And sometimes people don't understand that in order for them to either be a top performer in sports or a top performer in the boardroom, you have to make time to recover. Your brain, your neurons shrink during recovery to accommodate lymph flow, to get rid of all the junk in the brain. So if you're not taking that time to rest, if you're not taking that time to recover, you're not getting stronger and you're not getting smarter.
This is the Entrepology Podcast, the podcast where we optimize the bodies, brains, and lifestyles of entrepreneurs, go-getters, and world-changing innovators.
Welcome to the Entrepology Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Megan Walker. As a naturopathic doctor and anthropologist, I optimize the health and performance of badass women working to change the world as entrepreneurs and go-getters. You know, people exactly like you. Your business, body balance, and inner badass, these are the themes we are exploring. Well, my guest today is pretty much all of those things. She herself is similar to me. She works with entrepreneurs, high achievers. She's a former competitive athlete. And what she really wants for herself and her life is to get the most out of it. What Dr. Elena Zenkov and I have in common are some of the techniques that we use to actually be the architects of our own life on our own terms. I love talking about biohacking and all of the cool new ways that we can squeeze a little bit more out of ourselves in every way, shape, and form. But part of that biohacking culture, in particular when it comes to us as women building our own lives, is ensuring that we are infusing some additional tools, hacks, tips that maximize our capacity for growth and recovery. These are probably not some of the things you are already doing in your life, but I guarantee if you start to implement them on a regular basis, if you start to listen to your body through a brand new lens, you're going to have an opportunity to live a life full of joy, which is frankly the ultimate hack we are all looking to achieve. So much great wisdom was dropped in today's episode. It truly is my pleasure to introduce you to my friend and colleague, Dr. Elena Zenkov. Elena Zenkov, welcome to the Entrepology Podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited.
Well, we have a lot to jump in and discuss and dissect. And for our high performers in the crowd, we're going to totally shake some things up for them today. But I'm wondering, Elena, before we jump in, can you give everyone a bit of a background on who you are and how you got to where we are today?
Yes, absolutely. Well, I'm a naturopathic physician, and I'm the owner of Proactive Health, a naturopathic clinic in Bellevue, Washington, just a little bit outside of Seattle. And, you know, I got to naturopathic medicine because I wanted to improve my health and my performance first and foremost. I have a background in business, and I got burnt out pretty quickly early in the game. And as a competitive athlete, I have found my way back to health really through naturopathic medicine. And I come from a family of physicians. So for me, I was kind of the oddball. Everybody in my family was mostly medical doctors. And when I chose the naturopathic route, you know, people kind of looked at me like, what are you doing with your life? But, you know, my journey to medicine was really to help myself first before I could help others. And now I have the pleasure of working with both men and women, top performers, athletes, and anyone who's looking to really take their health and life to the next level, using a holistic approach and total body approach.
I'd love for you to just take us a little bit through. You just mentioned, you know, you were an athlete, and then naturopathic medicine was something that helped bring you back to health. And I think for so many people, they're like, athletes are the epitome of health. Can you just share a little bit about that journey and that transition? We've been doing a lot of work on the podcast lately, talking about the mindset of kind of pushing through. And I think there's some real fallacies around top performers in all disciplines and how that doesn't always necessarily equate to health.
Absolutely. That is such a great topic to cover. And I frequently share my story. I grew up as a semi-professional tennis player early on, and I was, you know, I was on the tennis court 6 to 9 hours per day, not including weight sessions, getting up early. You know, our recovery days were doing 3 to 5 mile runs. And so the foundation for the importance of nutrition, psychology, recovery, physical therapy, strength training, all of those things, and, you know, including lifestyle and finding time for yourself, that foundation for a healthy life, but also performance, was engraved in me at a very early age. And what happened was that I went from being a really competitive athlete playing at a very high level and expecting to perform at a certain level to then going to college and being burnt out of trying to do competitive tennis and then also being successful in business, that I found myself really moving away from those really healthy habits that shaped me for an extended period of my life. I was moving away from those habits, and I began to live more of a sedentary life. My diet went down the drain. I was stressed out. I basically, all the tools and resources that I had access to before were no longer available, and I just kind of found myself lost and became really, I would say that maybe not as unhealthy as an average person, but, you know, I gained weight, my skin broke out. I just did not even recognize myself when I was looking at the pictures compared to when I was, you know, a semi-professional athlete. And at that point, I decided to make a really big change in my life. And I wanted to learn, how do I get back to being this top performer that I used to be? What are the tools necessary for me to get back to that level where I can excel? And at that point, it wasn't about sports anymore. For me, I just wanted to excel in life. And I knew that it began with health. I knew that if I wanted to be a top performer in any aspect of my life, I had to be healthy first and foremost. And conventional medicine at that time, when I was in my early 20s, just wasn't offering that solution. You know, I would go to my primary care physician or I would go to a specialist and they just wanted to give me a pill or just eat better and exercise more. Well, what does that mean? So they didn't quite give me the formula that I was looking for or really, really any guidance or advice. And actually, I had remembered that when I was about 16 years old, I had a naturopathic physician. And everything from that experience, from the time that I walked in the door to having an extended conversation about my health, my needs, my life's ambitions, like we covered all of that. And I found myself making my way to, you know, naturopathic schools to see what that journey would look like. And here I am.
And how did you get your family around this idea? Like, and often I find that actions speak louder than words. I'm married to a physician, right? So like I yeah. get this. I just want to compare tactics with you in terms of like when they all had this aha moment where we're like, this is really cool. This is a different side of health.
Right, absolutely. And tactics are key over family yes. dinner conversations.
Yes. This is when a whole different ballgame. Yeah.
Well, you know, my mom, when she got her medical degree, you know, it was like back in the 1970s, and she's still a practicing physician. But, you know, when she got her degree, when she was practicing, I remember that, you know, we always had great nutrition, and she always emphasized good nutrition. And I grew up with my mom, you know, telling me to do my exercise in the morning and at least stretch before I head out the door. And I was like 6 years old, you know. You know, we always had herbs in our house. We always had access to good supplements when necessary. And I just remember this evolution where my mom went being almost this MD integrated provider to being purely an MD. And you know, even she went on a lot of medications to the point where I said, Mom, do you realize that you have a pill for every symptom and then you need another pill for all those other symptoms? So I was like, let's get you back on track and you just need to trust me. And I also had to mention, you know, and by the way, you're the one that brought me to a naturopath in the first place when I was 16. So there's got to be some sort of, you know that this stuff works. And so anyway, so I... for me, when it comes to, you know, having those conversations, and I have a great relationship with a lot of medical doctors because we understand that it's not one or the other, that we really need to have this integrated approach in medicine because we all have a different purpose that we're serving in our patients' care. And and one of the things that I, when I even have conversation with family members who are in medicine, whether nurse practitioners, you know, or like my mom, who's an MD, I just say that, look, when it comes down to the end of the day, I'm not trying to convince you that what you're doing is better, what I'm trying to do is better. I just care about my patient's well-being. And so, however, I just also think that we need to be creative in our prescribing and our treatment and give our patients options. Because sometimes people just want to be on medication because that gives them a peace of mind. But we also need to give them other options and explain what are the alternatives and how could it be better or worse in their situation.
Yeah, and you know, I love that we're both naturopathic doctors, and we certainly get that. And you know what? I'm at a place where if you want to be on medication, like I'm just not going to expend any energy to try to pull you over. But I will just consistently demonstrate that there are not even options or alternatives, but there are additional opportunities to continue to gain health. That taking a medication is like one step on a whole rung of possibilities. And I don't know about you, but I love getting upstream to figure out why people became unwell in the first place or how we can really start to address things at a root cause level. And to that end, what I would love for you to share with people is a little bit about how you leverage testing in your office, because I think that this is an area that I know you work with your patients, but there's a whole new opportunity when you're working with a naturopathic doctor or a functional medicine practitioner to kind of lift the hood up on your health and see not just do you have disease, but how well is your system functioning. So to that end, like, what kind of testing are you doing with your patients to really get a sense of how well they're optimizing their health?
Absolutely. One of the greatest things of naturopathic medicine is that we really have the tools to help us understand our patients better and really come up with a great master plan for their health. And I completely agree with you. We need to understand why people became unwell in the first place so that we don't make the same mistake again. And I use testing, or, you know, I leverage testing in a few ways. So first and foremost, I want to understand the person who's sitting in front of me. And I use testing in a way that, you know, testing may show me certain numbers or values, but at the same time, I'm not basing my treatment off of just the testing. I'm also basing my treatment based on who's sitting in front of me and what are they telling me. And I do use a variety of testing. We do comprehensive testing to understand. I'm really big on hormones. So for me, I think that especially with top performers and athletes, because we push ourselves to the limit every single hour of the day, every minute, every second, that there does become a hormonal imbalance that's gradual and that's eventual, and that not many people know how to treat or diagnose. And so I'm very big on understanding and testing hormones. And I test in a variety of ways. I do blood and I do urine and I do anything and everything to help me get a better idea of what's happening physiologically. I'm also really big on gut health. And as you know, that we can have the best nutrition, but if our microbiome is imbalanced, if we have underlying inflammation, that might not be, that food, that nutrition might not be utilized to its ultimate potential. And so I am very heavy on gut analysis testing, and I'm also very heavy on hormone testing. And then I definitely do a lot of basic chemistry and blood testing just to get the foundation. I call this the foundation. And then after the foundation, we dive more into this comprehensive functional medical testing to get a better idea of where we can improve.
What are you looking for with when you talk about gut analysis?
When I'm talking about gut analysis? Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. So I do a lot of stool testing, and stool testing is a really great way for us to see one lab in particular that I use. It looks at four things. It looks for infection, inflammation, insufficiency, and then also imbalance. And with infection, we're looking for if somebody comes in and they're bloated and they're having abnormal bowel movements, something that naturopathic physicians hear all day long. And, you know, there might be a gut bacteria that is normally present in normal amounts, but has, I always say, overstayed its welcome and has outgrown beyond normal levels, and that can cause an infection. With imbalance, we're looking at microbiome imbalance. So sometimes gut bacteria will produce certain metabolic or organic acids, and when there's too much of them, it can create signs of bloating, indigestion, diarrhea, constipation, all of those fun things. But then also the imbalance coming from we just have too much of certain types of microbiome present. And, you know, I sometimes see people taking a lot of typical probiotics like lactobacillus and bifidobacterium. However, if you have too much of that, that's creating an imbalance in your gut. And that's why I think it's really essential to understand what is happening in terms of your microbiome, because you don't want to be taking a probiotic that's already feeding too much of the gut bacteria. When we're looking at insufficiency, we're looking at enzyme activity. We're looking at, are you digesting your fats and your proteins well? And this can be really helpful, especially for people who are doing a little bit more of a heavy protein diet or heavy fat diet, because some of their digestive upset could be coming from them just not being able to break down their food well enough. And then with inflammation, we're looking at how well is your immune system functioning in your gut? Is it overly active, meaning your antibodies are through the roof, or is it underactive? Maybe we need to boost your immunity a little bit.
I really love this because I think that we walk around, I'm going to say, as entrepreneurs and as achievers and as busy people, and we do things all the time thinking that we are improving our health. But what in fact we're doing is we're doing what we typically do, and that's we kind of push a little bit harder than we need to. Or if a little bit of something is a good idea, then a lot of it must be even better if we are busy. And you reference that in the context of probiotics. But if we look at achievers, and entrepreneurs, what kind of patterns do you see health-wise consistently in that group?
Definitely. That is such a great question. You know, I can answer this both ways. I can see the patterns or the consistency in behaviors that lead to good outcomes. And I can also talk about consistency in habits that lead to poor health outcomes.
Yeah, let's do both.
Let's do both. So, you know, unfortunately, you know, people don't seek us out when they're feeling great. There's a very small percentage of population that I see, you know, throughout the year, maybe a handful that come in that want to be proactive about their health. And they say, hey, I'm feeling really good right now. I want to feel this good until I'm 90 or 95, whatever that magic number is. And that's a very small percentage of population. And then the majority of people come in because they're burnt out, they're tired, they're top achievers, and they're struggling to stay at that level. So let's kind of start with those who are struggling. So staying up extremely late doing work. So that means they're on their screens working up until 1 o'clock in the morning, and then getting up at 5:30 in the morning to either be further on screen time or trying to go get their workout in. So number one, I would say, is cutting into their sleep. So sleep deficit, and not prioritizing their rest and their recovery that then leads to poor outcomes. Number two is eating a lot of processed food. So even with some of my top performer athletes, they just sometimes don't understand that if we just, although they're exercising 6 hours per day, although they have access to all this great food, they think that they can just get away with eating processed food. And when I say that, hey, even if we change your diet like 20%, maybe even 10%, your performance is going to be that much better. And I see this all the time. I track my athletes, and we have our KPIs, you know, determined so that we can track their progress. Whenever we change something, I want to see them improve in whatever aspect of the sport that we're looking to improve. And so, you know, sleep one, diet is two. Number three is pushing themselves more than they need to. And this is in terms of exercise, is that more does not necessarily equal better. And I see this, I experienced this even in myself as a competitive athlete, is that recovery, you don't get stronger when you're active, you get stronger when you're resting. And sometimes people don't understand that in order for them to either be a top performer in sports or a top performer in the boardroom, you have to make time to recover. Your brain, your neurons shrink during recovery to accommodate lymph flow, to get rid of all the junk in the brain. So if you're not taking that time to rest, if you're not taking that time to recover, you're not getting stronger and you're not getting smarter. So those are really the three big things that I see happening. What I would add on top of that, actually, something that leads to poor health outcomes, and I think this is actually one of the top things, is not prioritizing self-care and time for yourself, to just be in silence and quiet time. And whatever that looks like, whether it's taking the time during the day to go for a walk, taking the time to journal, taking the time to just sit in a quiet space, whatever that self-care looks like, it's when you start avoiding that, or when you start to minimize that, you know, when you don't take the time to do that, that's when your health really starts to suffer. What we can jump into the next segue, which is, what do successful people do, people with good health outcomes? Their stress levels are low, and not because they're low because they don't have a stressful life, is they have a better stress response. You know, they react differently to stressful situations. I have, you know, it's really interesting to listen or to hear people talk. I will have, you know, a CEO of a startup come in, and the way that they respond to stress, they have this lightness about them. They're not tense. They're just, you know, they see it as it is and nothing more. And then I'll have somebody, a top performer in their company, a high level executive, and anytime you get them talking about their work, they just get worked up. They start sweating. They start getting shortness of breath. Totally different stress response. So I would say that one of the things that I see that leads to good health outcomes and top performance is definitely how you handle stress and how you interpret stress. I think that's number one. Number two, they care about themselves. So they prioritize their day about carving the time to make time for themselves, eating the right food, moving their body. Those things are essential. They get that if they don't care of that, they're not going to be able to take care of themselves, and they're not going to be able to take care of the people around them. That's number two. Yeah. Did you want to say something about that?
I have a lot to say, but you keep going with number three, because this is a really good list.
And number three is being selfish. And not, and I really want to emphasize that I think people are not, and you know, selfishness has such a negative connotation these days, but I don't think people are selfish enough. I don't think people stand up enough for what they need, what they want, and the days just slip away from them until they reach this burnout stage when they must take care of themselves at that point. You know, when relationships start to suffer, when their performance starts to suffer, and then they're like, wait a second, hold up. I need to schedule a massage. I need to go on a yoga retreat. I need to take a six-week sabbatical. So being selfish in a way that, did I take care of myself? Did I take time for myself? And, you know, did I prioritize my day around the things that that fuel me?
They say that you are the product of the five people with whom you spend the most time. Imagine you could spend time with hundreds of fellow entrepreneurs and go-getters looking to up-level their business, body, and mindset. The Entrepology Collective does not belong to us. It belongs to you. Come hang out with us on Facebook and let us collectively inspire, support, and cheerlead you towards your vision for contribution, your commitment towards better health, and your journey of mindset mastery. We are in this together. We are entrepreneurs by birth, by choice, and by mission. We are the Entrepology Collective. Search for us on Facebook and come join your tribe. Yeah, it's like your gaslight on your car. And I was talking about this when I was recording another podcast earlier today. I mean, in that case, we talked about oil. So I'm changing up my analogies. But we don't wait till the gaslight comes on to know to fill our car. We intuitively know, or we have different rules around, like, oh, as soon as we hit like half a tank, we really should, you know, consider refilling the vehicle. Or, you know, gas prices drop in price and now might be a good time to go refuel the vehicle. We don't have those same analogies with respect to our health. it is not intuitive for us to actually care for ourselves. And I don't know if this is more, I don't know if this is worse in women or in men. I think it just actually manifests differently. But I see the same thing you do, that top achievers in my practice, the ones who like legitimately have it together, not the ones who just kind of plow through, they take the time for self-care and they take the time to enjoy life. Like they have fun, or they go on vacation, or they, you know, walk their kids to school. Like they really, they're like, no, I'm going to be very intentional about the life that I want to have. And that, and I have to care for myself in order to get there. And I feel like I could say this over and over again to our audience, because I think rarely do we have that exemplified for us. That
right.
As we move along that rung of achievement, it's not how many more things can you fit into your day. It's the quality of things that you fit into the course of your day. And you spoke to that so beautifully.
Thank you. And I have like three things that I want to say.
Go. See, clearly this triggers NDs. We're like, what are you doing, people?
Well, oh my goodness. I don't even know where to start, Megan. This is so good. So first I want to say that women are very, you know, are really bad at this, I think, because we feel like we need to take care of everyone and everything, and we need to do it to perfection. Mm-hmm. And if you go on my Instagram, I think I talk so much about, I'll kind of go through spurts where I talk about science. And then I talk about letting go of perfection, and just, especially when it comes to our health. I think that, you know, I think so many people will set these massive goals when it comes to their health. Like, I'm going to drink my celery juice in the morning. I'm going to do intermittent fasting. I'm going to work out with my professional trainer, 6 days a week. And then they do that for a week and they're like, oh my God, being healthy is so much work. And the reality is that, and I'll bring in some car analogies too. I'm really good about, you know, the oil changing and, mm-hmm. you know, treating yourself as a high-end car. But the reality is that, you know, health does not have to be so time consuming. It's really the consistency and what you do during the day, those little things that you do, 10 to 15 minutes, those minor changes that can lead to really big results. But I think with women, I see that, you know, we just tend to take on a lot. We tend to burn out more easily because it's just not sustainable sometimes, the pace that we go at. And I have to say that I love working with women because I'm so passionate about helping women juggle all of these things and do it at a high level. But you know, one of the barometers of health that I use is joy. Are you experiencing joy in your life? What in the heck is the point of doing anything if you're unhappy? What is the point of you having your 9-to-5 job or your own company or being your own boss if you can't walk your kids to school, if you're missing birthday parties, if you're not there to spend time with the person that you love? What is the point of doing anything then, right? I mean, we're here to be joyful and to be happy. And I'm really, I when I have conversations with my clients, I am so purposeful and I'm so on it that we need to focus on the quality of life that they're having. And granted, not everybody can just walk away from a job that's causing them stress. And I don't really recommend that, you know, unless it's a really severe situation. But I really want to find time in people's lives where they're experiencing joy and just double down on that.
Yeah. And that's not a frivolous thing. So I just want to tack that on the end, because I felt like as you said it, I could hear not all of our listeners, but I know a bunch of you who are like, yeah, but that's like, what a privilege that you can say that you get to experience joy. No, like small things can experience joy right. from. Like you can fling food at your partner across the table. You can throw leaves at someone. You can just say, we're going to a movie this afternoon instead of one more thing. We're like, you can find joy anywhere at any time, and it doesn't cost money. And if you are at a place where you're like, I can't find it, or I don't let myself have it, or in a month I'll do it once I'm through this project, that is a that is a problem. That is a symptom of of something else. But joy should not, that should not trigger any level of yeah buts in your brain. And if it has, I want you to just, you need to tap into that. You definitely need to tap into that.
Well, I can even just share my personal and professional example. Our company was kind of going through growing pains earlier in the year, where we just experienced this massive growth, which is great. But as you know, the CEO of my company, I had massive decisions to make. I was working 16-hour days. I was going from soccer practice to coffee shop, back to birthday parties, back to work. You know, I took on a lot of work very quickly and had to, and the delegation piece came later because I had to figure out what am I delegating, who am I delegating, who am I bringing on board, who's leaving. And so, you know, very quickly what I'm passionate about, which is health and helping people reach their health potential, quickly became work. You know, I mean, when you put in that much work into something, when you're passionate about something, it can quickly become almost like a burden, right? And I found myself really needing to practice what I preach, which is, I think that the busier you get, the more you need to carve out time for yourself. So if that means that you get up a little bit earlier, that means you get up a little bit earlier, but it needs to be, as one of my clients says it, intentional time for yourself. And the other thing is, I realized that I had to dig deep at certain points, but I just refused. Anytime I had a negative thought, for every negative thought, I had a positive thought. It was like, what can I just focus on right now? Just sitting in my room, what could I focus on that brings me joy? And I had to list out the joy that I feel for working with my clients, the joy of having the freedom of time, the joy of, you know, seeing my son today. And I just had to make a list of some silly things just to get me back in the groove. And just like you said, it doesn't have to be something massive, right? And you're going to get to that massive thing that's going to bring you joy, but you got to start now. If you think that you're going to be happier when you slow down, when you go on the vacation, when you do those things, you're not, you know, that's almost a false belief. And so, and that is a very, I would say, short time gratification that, yeah, you'll go on the vacation and you'll get the house or you'll get the car or you'll get the promotion. And then, you know, you'll get a short endorphin rush and then you'll be like, okay, what's next? I'm stressed out again, because that's how you're conditioned. You're just conditioned to, until you get X, you know, you can't be happy or you can't find joy. And, you know, just again, my personal experience was that when I was hit with this, huge workload and many sleepless nights, and being a naturopathic physician, really trying to practice what I preach, I think the number one thing is finding joy and finding time for you and prioritizing self-care during that time.
Yeah, I love that. And self-care can be so, it can be so simple.
Right.
But it does require a little bit of a gentle touch. And that's okay.
Yeah. I think, you know, nowadays we can throw a lot of bells and whistles at people and you can make really fancy and elaborate treatment plans. And the thing is that most people just don't, they really don't have that much time sometimes during the day, especially for parents who have, you know, multiple kids and multiple schedules to juggle. But that's what I really emphasize, is those little changes and those small changes that you do consistently. I have a background as a yoga teacher, and one of my yoga instructors many, many years ago, you know, he mentioned you could go to yoga once a week, so you can do a 60-minute hot yoga class, or he's like, or you could do 10 minutes of yoga daily and have even a greater impact on your health than if you just show up once a week. So I'm all about just showing up daily and daily changes. But I also want to emphasize that we can't ignore our physiology. And I think even if you do those things like priming yourself for the day and making the lifestyle changes and doing all those things, if you have an underlying physiological imbalance, that needs to be corrected. And I kind of wanted to loop back to that analogy that you said with the oil, right? We got to change the oil and we got to take care of our car and we got to fuel up the gas tank before you're stopped on the side of the road. And when even kind of making that connection with labs, like I talked about earlier, when I look at labs, I'm not looking if somebody's, I am looking for those things, like if somebody's really super high on something or really, really low in a certain value, but I'm also looking at optimizing health. So if something is borderline low, it's low in my books. If something is borderline high, it's high in my books, and we got to go after it because we're not waiting for the car to break down. We're not waiting for the human body to break down before we do something about it.
Okay. So to that end, and you know, we're talking about self-care, we're talking about the simple things and we both do that. And everyone's like, okay, I get that. So I actually just want to know, because we both have busy lives and we've got a lot of things, what do you turn to when it actually is a little bit crazy, when you are pushing yourself a little bit harder? Because there's seasons to all of these things. Like, what are some of the cool, maybe biohacking is like too hard a term, but maybe not. Like, what are some of the cool novel things that you also include in your life to keep you top of your game?
Yeah, well, you're kind of asking me in the right time of my life. I'm in it. I'm on the far, you know, on the forefront of the battle. And it's so funny because I was just talking to a friend earlier about this, that, you know, the last few months I've been really busy and I've had to rethink what are the things that keep me at the top of my game. I started on bioidentical hormone therapy a few months ago, and it's been a game changer for me because I realized that more natural alternatives were just not cutting out for me. Like I tried to do my adrenal support, which I still do. I tried to do just B12 shots, and and my diet is great. I never have trouble working out, but those things were just not cutting it for me. And I just kept hitting borderline low in a lot of hormones. And I finally was just like, you know what, I'm going to go this route. And it's made a really big difference in my life. Especially as a woman, I'm with the bioidenticals that I'm on. I sleep better. My energy is better. I have greater lean muscle mass. And it's, you know, as somebody, I know my body, especially as an athlete, that if I'm eating well and I'm sleeping well, and I'm taking the right supplements that are supposed to improve my hormone balance, but they're not doing it, I'm going to go to the next best thing. And that for me was bioidenticals. And that's just me. That's what my body responded to. But I'm not opposed to going for that higher level intervention to get me the edge. So I think that was in my personal health, that was one of the number one things that I did was I corrected a deficiency using bioidenticals. So that's number one. Number two, honestly, I've had to... because I haven't had as much time to, you know, to do my yoga, to do my meditation, to go to the gym when I want to, because I've been really busy. It's being okay with the little time that I have sometimes, you know what I mean? So it's like, instead of, and I thought already, I was like, how can I go down further? How can I go from 30 minutes of self-care to just like 10 minutes of self-care in the morning? And I've just been going back to joy and going back to like fulfillment and satisfaction. I've been teaching myself how to be okay and how to be happy with the little that I've got, you know, because I know that, hey, when the weekend comes, I'll have more time for myself. But for now, this is what we're working with and being okay with it. So not trying to make a deal, not trying to make a big deal out of it and not trying to say, oh, poor me, this is all I have and I'm just going to complain about it. It's being grateful for the little time that I have and I'm just going to use it to my advantage. So, you know, for me, I was reflecting on this last week. So it's so funny that you're saying this, was that I literally like would just have mornings where I'm like, I just have time to only go for like a 5-minute walk. And I just have time to write one sentence in my journal, right? Just really like really a small amount of time. And what I realized that how hard it was for me to have that little time, that it was literally breaking me to have so much little time. But I realized that changing my perspective, and this is kind of just part of the biohacking, is just changing my perspective, changed my physiology, and just totally changed my quality of life experience.
A quick note from our sponsor, Badass Fuel. 2 years ago, someone asked me what supplements I take to maintain my health, my energy, and my edge, and they were surprised that I only took 4 things consistently. For myself and my patients, there are 4 basics that support, at a foundational level, nearly every system in our body. In my quest for the highest quality ingredients and the easiest system for consistently incorporating supplementation into my routine, I formulated and manufactured my own line of foundational supplements. My intention with this line was first and foremost quality, but equally important was a system for taking and naming the support that eased the incorporation of supplements into your life. Trusted for myself and my patients, under the guidance of your own healthcare provider, I'm excited to invite you to check out our foundational product line, Badass Basics. You can learn more or order the products yourself by visiting www.badassfuel.com. So simple and such a perfect place to transition the interview, because we are getting like this really great insight from you in terms of like, how are you living your life? What do you want for your patients? But then also like recognizing that for each of us, there are seasons where things are a little bit busier. And what I love about naturopathic medicine is that we have so many tools to support people at varying degrees. And that can be so individualized. So I call this section of our interview our KPIs, or key performance indicators. So you mentioned these earlier, but just like we have them in our businesses, I believe we have them in our health as well. So I've got a few quick questions for you. Are you ready?
Absolutely.
All right. First question, Elena, who is inspiring you right now?
That is a great question. Who's inspiring me? I have a lot of great girlfriends, also mom entrepreneurs, who are just great examples for me, but for other moms. So I could list a number of them, but I'm just going to put them in a group and not mention anybody in particular. But from book writers to gym owners, they're just crushing it, and they're baby mamas, and they're doing a great job of showing other women of what can be possible.
I love it. It is actually, sometimes we just need to turn to our tribe. And I think that's why they say, you know, we're a product of the 5 people we spend the most time with. And when you surround yourself with incredible role models who are, you know, better at some things than you are, but compassionate in how they share those strategies with you, man, does it ever enable you to level up quickly? I really love that you mentioned that.
It's all about the tribe. It's really about the people that you surround with, and you know, the rising tide lifts all boats, and you gotta, and I think it's whether it's people, your, you know, the tribe, your physical tribe, ladies that you get together with, or guys, or your virtual tribe, whatever that is, that is the key.
Fiction or nonfiction? What are you reading right now?
Oh man, nonfiction. I cannot do fiction. I can't even, it's hard for me to go to the movie theaters. I can't even watch movies. I'm like, I'm a documentary person.
I want to understand what goes on in our brains, because I'm the same way. And I love it when people drop a really great fiction title when I ask this question. But I have to say, we've had like 4 of them in 150 episodes. So I hear you on this. What book are you reading right now?
Oh, that is a great question. I usually read about 4 books at a time.
I
kind of chip away. I'm a spiritual junkie, but I'm also growing a business. So for me, I have probably like 2 books on my soul's purpose, and I have 2 books on KPIs. So I have to think about this one. I'm trying to remember what's on my bookshelf. You know, honestly, I think the last book that I picked up was The Seed of the Soul.
Gary Zukav, that's a good one.
Yeah, and it's the one that I keep just coming back to, because if I'm reading 4 books at a time, I'll read like 1 chapter in each book. But that one, I just every once in a while, you know, and I think this is kind of going back to like we're talking about top performance. You gotta find time to realign with yourself and your purpose, you know, and that's what that book kind of helps me.
So true. What's the one thing you're most consistent with respect to your health?
Exercise.
Fair enough. The ultimate form of self-care, right? Especially for the former athlete. What's something totally badass about you that people would not otherwise know?
I'm a climber.
Okay. I like it. And are you like indoor rock climbing, outdoor? Like you're
Oh, no. No, I do a lot of alpine climbing. So I do a lot of snow, ice, backcountry. I like something that gives me a little bit of an endorphin rush.
Great. Hence the badass piece. And what do you do for fun or play? Or is it scaling mountains?
Oh, gosh. You know, ever since I became a parent, scaling mountains has really scaled down, I would say. So I what do I do for fun? I play outdoors. You know, although I'm not climbing as much, I my fun is in the outdoors. So whether I'm hiking or climbing or skiing, whatever it is, playing in the rivers, that's where I'm having fun, is when I'm in the mountains.
Fantastic. I totally agree with you on that piece. There's something so special about being able to like just immerse yourself in nature. It's a completely different experience. Last question for you, Elena. Entrepreneurism, are we born this way or do we learn to become entrepreneurs?
That is such an excellent question. You know, and a part of me feels like anybody can learn to become an entrepreneur. But I think some people come into this life experience almost born that way. It's kind of like how we're programmed. I think it's kind of like our soul's purpose, going back to that. But I think anybody can learn it if they want to have the life that they want.
Well, so true, right? It's about creating the life that you want. And so much of this interview today was really about what are some of the tips and tricks and mindset and intentions that need to be there so that you not only are living the life you want, but you're doing it with your health having your back. Dr. Elena Zinkov, thank you so much for hanging out with us today. Where can we send people to learn more about what you're up to?
Absolutely. Well, it was such a pleasure to talk to you and to be here with your listeners. They can go to my website, proactivehealthnd.com, and then they can also find me on Instagram, and the handle is Dr. Elena Zinkov.
Amazing. We will hook everyone up in the show notes. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you. It was my pleasure.
If you enjoyed today's episode as much as I did, I would so appreciate hearing from you guys. If you have an opportunity to leave us a review over on Apple Podcasts, it makes such a huge difference in terms of us being able to reach more people. And the thing I loved most about Elena's conversation today was really a comment she made at the end where she talks about her tribe, the tribe and community of women who inspire her on a daily basis. And we are also fortunate, yes, that includes you, that we have a community of women who are also out there leaving a massive impact in this world as entrepreneurs, as architects of our own dreams, as parents, and as people who really want to contribute to making this world a better place. We hang out on Facebook over in our group called the Entrepology Collective. If you search for that on Facebook, you'll be able to find us. Come hang out. We talk about tips like we talked about with Dr. Zinkov today. We get into how we can be living the life of our dreams, balancing out all of these things, because there is a secret to doing it well, and we learn from one another. So come on over, come hang out with us, and until next week, go and build something amazing.